This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
It is a pleasure to be with each and every one of you this morning, even though the news that I have to bring you makes me bleed through the eyes with how much they are spending and spending people, for example, in my generation into endless debt. Mr. President, I know you're probably not listening, but seriously, if the president would like to rally his base and at the same time get the hardcore constitutional conservatives like myself behind him, which would be a vast majority of the Republican Party, because you'd have the Trump loyalists, the guys that go along with him pretty much no matter what, even they're upset about this. And then the constitutional conservatives, the people like me who are against this endless spending and debt, if you want to get both of those groups, which would constitute a majority of the Republican voting base, on your side and behind you right now, the fastest way to do that is to veto this bill. And to look Congress in the eye and say, you got to do better than this. You can't just recklessly spend any amount of money from the coffers that you want. Now, do I think the president's going to do that? No, I don't. He tends to rubber stamp things. And I hate to say that. I would love to see the president veto this bill. I just don't think it's going to happen. If he does, I will be happy to admit that my prediction was wrong, and we'll all go on with our lives, hopefully, with a much better spending bill. Or, even though this sounds like crazy talk at this point, maybe Congress could actually consider, you know, passing a budget. That's a novel idea, isn't it? But if the president really wants to rally both his base and rally the constitutional conservatives, that would be the way to get all of us on your side. Yeah, there'd be people in Congress that would be mad. Yeah, there would be Republicans and Democrats that would be mad. And yes, the media would lose their freaking minds. But you would come out on top because you would be the hero that stopped it. And the Republicans and the vast majority of the American people would be with you. So you would have all those people against you, but keep in mind that the vast majority of the country, we outnumber them by a great deal, and we would be on your side. So if the president wants to really do that and prove that he's committed to draining the swamp that he talked about throughout the entirety of his campaign, and one of the things that he said that sounded good in theory, he didn't have many strategies on how to do that, this would be one way to do that. If you want to show that you're serious about being someone who's not establishment, who's not just going to go for the status quo, who's actually going to shake things up, which is why the American people elected you. If you're really serious about that, veto the bill. I hope that the president actually does that. Now, one thing about this bill is that it contains no action on DACA, which it shouldn't because it's a spending bill, and this is one way that shows how the Democrats have so masterfully used their political clout, even though they're in the minority right now, to try to change policy. Because now what happens is every time there is any kind of spending or budgetary plan put forward, DACA is always discussed, even though it's not a spending measure. See, what they've done is, because of the big debate we had with the government shutdown several months ago, that they have now seemingly eternally connected DACA and the DREAM Act to any kind of spending. And this particular one does not contain any action on that, which is a good thing. But of course, Luis Gutierrez, the senator Democrat from Illinois, he said, anyone who votes for the omnibus, talking about this bill, is voting for the deportation of DREAMers and other immigrants. You will be voting to take money from law-abiding taxpayers, some of whom are immigrants. See, now that's always something that I found fascinating. The assumption there is that immigrants who are here legally are in favor of illegal immigration. But the truth is, many, many of the immigrants that I've met, several of the ones that I've spoken to, there's nobody that dislikes the illegal immigration system more than them, because they feel like they're getting cheated because they came in the right way and played by the rules. And the illegal immigrants, they didn't do that. They snuck in the back. And all this talk of amnesty and giving them citizenship, when someone who comes here legally has to spend a fortune to to get that kind of consideration, and I mean a literal fortune. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases. But anyway, I'll get back to his quote. You will be voting to take money from the law-abiding taxpayers, some of whom are immigrants, and give that money to privately run prisons that will make profit off each and every human being our government hands over to them for detention and then deportation. Well, now, I disagree with Gutierrez's premise here, because just because you're voting for the omnibus does not mean you're voting for that. If that was the whole of the omnibus bill, I would actually say then everybody should vote for it. I'm against this omnibus bill, obviously. But he characterizes it quite differently. So no action on DACA. That is a good thing. Let's actually talk about the merits and what exactly is in this bill. Keep in mind, this is just what we know. Because this thing is over 2,200 pages. And we've only had a few hours to look at it and to see what's in it. But this is what we know so far. First of all, the what it has in it that could be greatly improved upon, and the reasons that this is such a terrible spending bill. It still gives over $500,000 to Planned Parenthood. There is no cuts whatsoever to the amount of money that is usually given to Planned Parenthood, which is usually just north of $500,000. So it's about $500,000 that we give to Planned Parenthood. So we are, even though the general agreement for a long time was that even if you disagree with abortion, whether you agree or disagree with it, you don't put taxpayer money for it because of how controversial it is. That has been completely thrown out the window the past decade, where we have been funding Planned Parenthood and funding the abortions that they offer. So continues to fund Planned Parenthood. The GOP apparently just couldn't bring themselves to stop funding that. Why, I don't know. So, still funding for Planned Parenthood, that's the biggest problem. It also funds sanctuary cities. No cuts whatsoever given to them. In fact, it wasn't even proposed, not even talked about. So, sanctuary cities are still getting government money. Now, personally, I don't see why any American city is getting any federal money. That's, again, like TCU Doug was pointing out earlier, that is something that is outside the purview of the Constitution. We shouldn't be giving any cities any money, but this bill continues to fund specifically sanctuary cities. There are no cuts given to them whatsoever. It also funds the Export-Import Bank, which is given over $100 billion in taxpayer-backed loans. And the way that I'm not going to get into all the rigmarole of the Export-Import Bank, but just suffice it to say, essentially what happens is when companies involve themselves in risk and some kind of foreign power, for whatever reason, whether it's something that they really couldn't control, like a war breaking out or something that is foreseeable, then the government backs and gives back the corporation any money that they lost in that overseas investment, which is incredibly corrupt because it encourages reckless spending. And if you lose it, oh, well, big deal. The taxpayers will pay for it. This is nothing but government welfare. Just like when they gave it to the banks, just like they're doing with tariffs, this is just another form of corporate welfare. They're taking money from the American citizen and redistributing it to corporations. So that's the Export-Import Bank, fully funded by this spending bill, given those loans to large, well-connected corporations that many times lobby for this kind of thing. It also fully funds all the executive agencies like the National Board of Education, the EPA, all of that stuff, fully funded, no cuts to it whatsoever. And so that's essentially what's in the bill. Now, there are a handful of good things, and I do want to be fair. I want to give credit where credit is due. There are a handful of good things. First of all, it does give about $1.5 billion to the border wall. That's a good thing. Now, it's still about $12.5 billion short. It's not going to get anywhere near the amount of border wall that we actually need. Woefully underfunds it. But it does actually give $1.5 billion to the border wall, and it does give money to beef up border security. It's not enough to fully fund border security, but it beefs it up. And I know that a lot of people are going to immediately hear this and say, well, why is it that you're against all this spending, but then all of a sudden you're for spending things on the border wall or the budget? Here's the reason. The vast majority of that $1.3 trillion is spent on things that are blatantly unconstitutional, things that the Constitution never even mentions. Welfare, food stamps, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the list goes on and on and on. Researching for, this is a past spending bill, this isn't the current one, but I mean, just to give you an example of how ridiculous some of this stuff is, grants to scientists to research the effects of robotic squirrels on snakes. No, I'm not making that up. That is an actual thing that the government funded. But anyway. But the reason that there's a difference there is because border security, national security, those are things that the Fed actually is charged with doing. Being secure from invasion is something that the federal government has been charged with. That's something that they are actually supposed to do according to the Constitution. Most of this other stuff is not. I got no problem with spending an adequate amount of money on things that the Fed is supposed to be doing. But I will not tolerate them spending money on things that the Constitution does not even give them authority to do. Now, one thing it did do is there was a block of the Obamacare bailout. They were trying to put money back into Obamacare. The way that this works is this was actually something that was stopped, and I want to give props to Marco Rubio for being the senator that originally stopped this. In the original Obamacare plan, what happened is there were a couple of fallbacks for insurance companies that went under. Originally, what was going to happen is, because they knew that this was going to have a very negative effect on some insurance companies, the way that the government guaranteed the insurance companies were not going to be hurt by Obamacare is they said, okay, well, what happens is if, for example, this thing goes away, if this thing goes under, then we're just going to share profits between all of you. And if something bad happens with that, there's not enough profit to share, we'll just give you money directly from the federal coffers. We'll just give you straight up taxpayer money and we'll fund you that way. And so, thankfully, that did not happen. The Obamacare bailout did not take place. They were able to block that. So I do appreciate that they were able to keep that out of it, keep yet another form of corporate welfare, taxpayer money going directly to the corporations. This also stops funding to the Palestinian Authority, but only if they continue to funnel money to terrorists, which technically is a good thing. I don't know that it's something I should be all that happy about, because yes, you're not giving money to the Palestinian Authority, but only if they continue in funding terrorists. So apparently that's a bridge too far, which again, that's a good thing, but I don't think we should be giving money to the Palestinian Authority anyway. Why are we engaged in giving money from Americans to people in other countries? That makes no sense. And so, again, a victory, but not necessarily something that's going to be a big deal. This is small potatoes. All this stuff is things that we should have been doing anyway. I mean, funding the border wall, we were supposed to do that 30 years ago. And so that should have been something that was non-negotiable. We've already passed it. We already have a good reason. We already have a constitutional reason for funding it. So that should have been something that was a foregone conclusion, not even on the table when this budget was put forward. Same thing for blocking the Obamacare bailout. That's already been taken care of once. We essentially didn't stop something. We just kept it from being reignited. Which, again, that's a positive, but it's not much of a victory. And then the stopping of the Palestinian Authority. I would have loved to have seen a cut on foreign aid across the board, but all we're getting is a cut on giving money to the Palestinian Authority, and we'll start giving the money again as long as they stop funding terrorism. How about people that fund terrorism, they no longer get any U.S. dollars? Can we make that policy? Never again. It's not even a consideration that they might be able to get American dollars anymore. If you fund terrorism, that's it. No more. You never get any foreign aid from us again. I would be perfectly fine with not having any foreign aid. But if we're going to have it, I think that it's not unreasonable to say, yeah, you fund terrorism, you're not even going to be considered in the future no matter what you do. So even the little bitty victories, the little bitty concessions that we're getting in this bill, I mean, it's nice, but it's nothing to write home about, especially considering what it continues to fund.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt, every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.